This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly annoying Jules Serkin.
You have been very curmudgeonly this morning.
Oh, yeah. No, you go on and on and on.
I was chatting.
But I've heard about your medical history about 400 times.
Yeah, we need to...
Every guest that comes in here, she waylays them with her thyroid stories.
Of course, you know, you have no ailments, Mr. Andrews.
I have loads. I just keep them to myself.
Well, I know them all, actually, but never mind. What I would say is that... Now I've been shifted to the yellow mic. All very well, but I'm straddling, darling.
What are you straddling
with? I'm straddling.
You're straddling?
Yeah, I'm having to straddle.
You've got a leg between your legs?
Yeah, I've got a little leg.
Round.
I'm very unladylike.
Well, move round.
Yeah, so I've got one left leg, you know, on the left,
there
and then
go.
One right leg on the right, and a little pole. I could do pole dancing.
Well, don't do that.
Not my age.
Move slightly to the left.
I'll manage. I'll sort it out. Don't you worry.
Well, you've only got to move.
Yeah. We could play the move. I actually really love the move.
Oh, you went on about that last week.
Yeah, Roy Wood.
It was a wrong song.
No, but it was Roy Wood, wasn't it?
I know it was Roy Wood, but it wasn't Roy Wood I was talking about. It was the wrong song.
I know.
You were talking about Flowers in the Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was Roy Wood.
But we were off on a tangent, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah, and I was talking about Flowers in Your Hair, which is a hippie song from San Francisco.
If you're going.
When I was 10. Yeah.
Yeah. But As You Have No Hair. And then we got on to Loons. And did you notice that Athelbrey, I think, said that we hadn't mentioned Oxford bags.
No, we hadn't. That's true.
No. I did have a pair of blue and cream big check with little turn-ups.
Do you remember those big flares as well, which had, for men, had like triple buttons at the waistband as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they were called.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I had a pale blue pair of those.
Weren't they Loons as well? But
yeah,
without
probably.
Them. I think they were Loons.
I had a pair of pale blue ones of those that I used to wear with red platform shoes.
I bet that looked fabulous.
Yeah, I bet it was
Why don't
wonderful.
You dish them out the loft and wear them next Tuesday?
Yeah, of course. I could get them on, of course. Yeah.
Well, my new husband, I was chatting to him, the lovely Gavin Serkin. You can find him at G Serkin on the Twitter. But I was telling him about our conversation about Loons. He had no idea what Loons were. Didn't know what
Oxford
bags. He's
a whippersnapper.
Didn't know any of it.
Yeah,
it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He doesn't actually have any music knowledge of any of the songs that we know, like Flowers in Your Hair and all that.
Don't even go there.
No.
My partner Amanda, I said to her the other night, oh, so-and-so about a song. She said, I wasn't born then.
No. I think music is the big divider with age, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, my mum and dad used to dance on a Sunday afternoon when they got back from the pub, they put the roast on. And it was the 60s, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, of course it was.
And with my Auntie Edna and Uncle Ronald, they used to dance around in the living room to sort of Jim Reeves and Engelbert Humperdinck.
Your mum and dad were in the pub. I used to have to sit and listen to Billy Cotton's band show.
And then, well, if I got taken to the pub, were you allowed to sit in the back of the car with
a bottle of pop?
For hours. In the studio, we're very excited. We've actually got a studio guest, haven't we, Paul Andrews?
We have. First one for ages.
So we've got the lovely Rebecca Smith from the University of Kent Business School, who's going to be telling us all about everything that's going on at the Uni of Kent. Very excited to have
We've got a fantastic lineup of guests today. We've got loads of guests, and it's going to be a very packed show. I want to say a huge thank you to the show sponsors. And we're very proud to be sponsored by Locke Associates Group, and we partner with them. They're a leading employment law firm, and they'll be bringing us regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. If you want to find out more about Locke Associates Group, it's Locke Associates.co.uk.
Oh, Dr. Finlay.
Yeah, L-O-C-H, the Scottish spelling of Lock.
Can you not spray when you do that?
Yeah, exactly. Lockassociates.co.uk, find out more about them. Fantastic.
It is a really, really good thank you, and we're very proud to be sponsored by them. We've also got coming up on the show the Liu Bachelor. Do I say it right?
Liu. I get in so much trouble. Poor lady, I pronounce her name a different way every time. It's Liu Bachelor.
Okay, so, and she's from the Big Ideas Show, so that's really really, really exciting. And all links to the show, well, you can find them on 3Ws, kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And if you look on the little forward slash summit, you'll find out all about Rebecca Smith, as she tells us.
Later. Yeah, absolutely. And we're also going to be hearing from Darren Jarvis of Construct UK. Darren is on a panel speaking tomorrow and the day after, the 18th and 19th of November, at the Virtual Construction Expo. And Darren is part of a panel that's going to inform small and medium-sized construction businesses about the opportunities of doing business in the Republic of Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got some fantastic guests. I want to tell you about some other stuff. We've got tweets coming in, which is lovely. Thank you. Do keep your tweets coming in. And don't forget to use the hashtag BBunker. I'd also like to get you to listen to all the Biz Diaries podcasts. And there's 11 there so far, and there will be more as things unfold. And the Business Diaries podcast, it's business storytelling that uncovers the stories about the personal journeys of business owners. Often funny, sometimes sad, always intriguing, and very entertaining. You can follow them by going to businessdiaries.podbean.com. So, and do follow them so you'll get notified as each new one comes up. And there's 11 there, I believe, already. And all of them are incredibly interesting business journey stories. So do check that out. What you got, Jules?
Well, here's a little email from someone. Can you help us make Christmas special for local families who may have little or nothing under their tree for this Christmas morn? Romney Resource Centre is teaming up with local organisations and individuals in the Hythe and the Romney Marsh areas to help local children this Christmas. And as we know, coronavirus, that wicked virus, has thrown up all sorts of challenges for so many this year. And they say we're determined to make a difference and you can get involved. So here are the ways you can. You can donate a toy. You can bring a new and unwrapped donation of toys to one of their donation points. You can send a gift direct if you're unable to donate it physically. And you could buy a gift online and send it. I'm going to read out the address, and it's Romney Resource Centre, Unit 4, Mountfield Road, T for Tiger, N for Norman, 28, 8L. H for Henry. Also, you can go to Age UK in Stade Street in Hythe and the Hythe Salvation Army Portland Road in Hythe. And you can also go to 3ws.justgiving.com with a slash Hythe SA Christmas Appeal. And please write Toy Appeal in the comments. So all details for that will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
I love it when you do phonetic readings.
I know.
Because normally you do for like T for pterodactyl and N for knowledge.
I've got so much better now. do you remember one of our listeners about 150 years ago when we were in Romney Marsh actually sent me the proper phonetic thing?
Yeah.
I never read
it. As if you needed it.
Yeah, yeah,
you make your own up.
It's much more fun.
It's more fun, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's innovative, yeah. Paul Andrews.
Exactly. I've had a tweet from the fantastic Martin Reeves at Charity Buddy. He said, hello Business Bunker, can I have a shout out please? Of course you can. Give Martin a follow on Twitter. His Twitter handle is charity_buddy, and what Martin does, he looks for business opportunities to raise money for different local charities. So give him a follow. If you've got any business ideas that you need following up, he's always welcome to listen to those ideas. And he's got a lot of very well-known supporters that kind of mentor him and give him advice as well. So do follow Martin, charity_buddy on Le Twitter. Tracy Ann Barker, Tabber Official. Yippee! It's Tuesday. It's Business Bunker Day with Vanilla Web and her. She didn't say that, actually.
She's much more polite than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she said, and the
you're
lovely
just
Jules
making
Serkin.
That up,
yeah,
aren't
I am,
you?
I am. I hope you're both okay. Would love a shout-out this week, please. Recently opened our course bookings for our next Essential Management Skills courses. Tickets on sale with an early bird offer. I can't read the link because it's been shortened, so the easiest thing to do is to follow Tracy Ann on Twitter and find the link there. And her Twitter handle is Tabba, T-A-B-A underscore official. T-A-B-A underscore official. Give Tracy Ann a follow. and find out more about her courses there.
And we've had a little tweet from the folks at Athol Bray Limited. You can find them on the Twitter, and they say, hello, Vanilla Webb and Jewel Sirkin, Bee Bunker, using the hashtag discreetly. They say, can we have a positive shout out, please, for all those who are recruiting? We know there are some out there, exclamation mark. Our recruitment virtual training day is on the 10th of December with Director Keith, and they're covering all aspects of getting the right person for the job. And a lovely GIF or GIF there saying thank you, Bee Bunker.
I just, on that, I really, 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 if you are recruiting, I really highly recommend you do that course, because as someone involved in the employment marketplace, I have to tell you, our attempts at recruiting the right people are appalling. We're stuck in a cliche of how we interview people and how we look at CVs and all the rest of it. Mm. And it's a vastly different world out there than it used to be. You need to change how you do it. Not least of which, the lovely folks at Ethical HR, HR Consultancy in Maidstone, have pioneered a new method of conducting interviews for people with autism and supported needs. So there's a lot of different things that you need to take on board when you're doing it. So do follow Athol Bray Limited, and also I think it's December the 10th, their programme?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so, with the lovely Keith. And look at your social media as well. Just watch what you tweet, because it will be there, or Facebook, it will be there forever. And employers will look at that.
Yep.
I'm just checking the date while you chat on.
Okay, I want to tell you about this. The lovely bird, Sarah Ann Lucas, late of this parish, just in time for Christmas, you can now pre-order your copy of her latest book, Seeking the Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman.
She can't be 50.
Well, she is, but it isn't her wisdom. It's the 50-year-old women that she's interviewed.
Okay.
Okay. I've read a release copy of the book. It's brilliant. Yeah. And she's got a whole series of books that are due to come out. She started with The Wisdom of a 50-Year-Old Woman, but she's doing it by decades. There's going to be The Wisdom of a 30-Year-Old Woman, The Wisdom of the 40-Year-Old Woman, The Wisdom of the 60-Year-Old Woman. And I'm trying to persuade her to do The Wisdom of Blokes.
Yeah, well, that would be a couple of pages.
And I think she should start with The Wisdom of a 65-Year-Old
Woman. Would she even fill a chapter?
Do you see what she did there? Oh, I'm not happy about that.
Well, I've got to get my own back somehow.
Anyway, you can pre-order the book. The book comes out on the 24th of November. You can pre-order it by going to Bird's website, which is beautifulbravebody.com. Beautifulbravebody.com. Go there, order the book, and enjoy. It is a fabulous book.
And just to confirm that the Athol Bray training, recruitment training, virtual training day is on the 10th of December, as my co-presenter so rightly pointed out.
Fantastic.
There's a new $38 million internationalisation fund that's been launched by the Department for International Trade, the DIT, which is aiming to help up to 7,600 small businesses in England to internationalise and expand into new markets. Co-investment funding of up to £9,000 is available to small businesses with a marketable idea or product, and £500,000 or over in sales or turnover. And you can go to www.great.gov.uk/contact/office-finder. That's a goodie.
Absolutely. It is. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks, Nick and the team at iTrust Assurance. This is day two of the anti-bullying week.
Oh, yes. Odd socks.
Yeah. It's time to stop bullying forever. To find out more, please click on the link, itrustassurance.co.uk. So do check that out. Have a look at that. iTrust Assurance are a really, really fabulous site. Do support them. Follow them on the Twitter. Have a look at the website.
So you know about the odd socks?
No.
So children are being, and people are going to work, are being asked to wear odd socks for Anti-Bullying Week.
How do you tell the difference? I always wear odd socks because I can never find a pair.
Whatever happens, and you think when you move house, you're going to find them all, and
disappear. Yeah.
You never do.
They're self-destruct socks.
Very, very odd. Yeah.
One's a self-destruct sock and the other one isn't.
And I have a bag.
It's a well-known manufacturing thing.
I have a bag full of odd socks that I hoped to spend an evening by the wireless one night putting together.
I nearly made a very unfortunate comment there, which I'm not going to.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to tempt you.
No, I wouldn't. The lovely folks at Diamond Circle Weddings have said, have you ever listened to the Business Bunker show during this lockdown when you're stuck at home? Why not give it a go? Essential information if you're self-employed or a company director. So thank you for that. That's the lovely Paul and Polly at Diamond Circle Weddings. Give them a follow on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is DC Weddings UK. DC Weddings UK. Do give them a follow.
We're creating a beautifully illustrated picture book, and this is Is It Just Me? It's a charmingly illustrated book that sees loneliness and isolation through the eyes of Doodle the dog. And this is Caroline Howitt's famous drawings. Doodle evokes all the emotions that we feel sometimes during times of loneliness, and we hope that everyone will relate to the content in some way. And this book was born through Caroline's own experiences of lockdown, and the context is far broader. Lockdown has been a catalyst though for many more people, and they've experienced the effects of isolation and loneliness. You can find out by contacting Ian Rutter, and Paul Andrews will have put this on the Kent Business website, but you can go to kickstarter.com/projects/AndrewWatson. Is It Just Me? To find out how they're starting this Kickstarter campaign. For this
Fantastic.
Talk.
Thank you. Do you know what? It's time for Cheesy Tunage.
Already? It's time for
Cheesy Tunage. Name that tune.
Oh, Dinah Ross, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Yes?
Yeah.
Call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. On that you can depend and never worry.
Keep me. Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, bit of Diana Ross there. Ain't no mountain
I love that song. It is my era, of course.
Yeah, do you see what I did there? Like,
yeah, a little summit.
Summit, eh?
Mountain.
That's good, isn't it? Is that your thing?
Yeah.
I got a tweet here from the lovely Sonia Kimpton DeVille, and she says, could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please, for Grapevine? Please, Paula Jules, have a tip-top Tuesday and enjoy the show. Do follow Grapevine. Grapevine is a contact app, and it enables you to build contacts and sales leads and all the rest of it by making contact with people, whether you meet them at various events or just by signing up. And I'm on there, so if you want to sell me anything, you've got to be on Grapevine to sell it to me.
Yeah, Grapevine.
Yeah, and it's spelled Grapevyn. Yeah, so follow them on the Twitter. You can find the link to the app there. It's a free app to download and register your details, and then you can make contacts on there.
Sounds
fantastic.
Very, very good.
Yeah, do it.
We've had a tweet from Nurse Liz in Pennsylvania.
Hello,
Pennsylvania,
Liz. You're right.
She says, good morning from soon-to-be lockdown Collegeville in Pennsylvania. Mm. She says, I found Jules Serkin, an organic local produce delivery company. So that's good, because she's going to be in lockdown.
Riverford are doing Pennsylvania now.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Misfit Market. So,
wow.
An unusual name, that, Misfit Market.
Yeah.
Ibiza Fitness Food, have you seen them? So
yep.
They've sent us a lovely picture. They're based in Manston, but they deliver all through the UK to offices and home. And they've done a beautiful boneless chicken thighs, potato salad, grilled veggies. Just one of the meals in your delivery today. We love cooking. For you, delivered in Ibiza and UK all the way through lockdown too. What else can you achieve once all your cooking is taken care of?
Fantastic. I've had a tweet request from Anita Brightley Hodges, who's a specialist family business advisor, and she says, can I have a Business Bunker shout out? Well, of course you can, Anita, and consider yourself shouted out.
And the Pink Spaghetti PA service, email marketing is still a cost-effective way of marketing your small business brand to a wider audience. If you thought of communicating with your customers, if it leaves you feeling cold, do get in touch so we can help you. And that's Vicky at Pink Spaghetti PA. You'll find her @PinkSpag_Vicky, and Vicky is V-I-K-K-I-E on the Twitter.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I want to talk to our first guest.
I do.
She's been waiting here very patiently to talk to us, looking somewhat askanced at our antics in here, thinking, what on earth have I let myself in for? But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show the lovely Rebecca Smith from the University of Kent Business School. Rebecca, welcome to the show. Have you been on before?
No, this is my first time.
Is it? I could have sworn you'd been on before.
No.
Well, I hope you're on again.
Look after me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to welcome you to the show, and for the first time. thank you so much for joining us. Now, you, Rebecca, are the person charged with organising the Kent and Medway Business Summit.
I am.
And what a project that is. What a fantastic project that is.
It is. It is a great honour to be organising the Business Summit this year. And I think with everything that's going on, I can definitely promise you, Paul, it's going to be a summit like no other.
Exactly. I was going to say, and for the first one, were you involved with last year's?
Yeah,
you were, weren't you? you've kind of taken on responsibility for it this year, and what a year to actually get responsibility for the whole thing.
I know, yeah. If I'd known back in March what was going to happen, then I might have not put my hand up. But I've met some fantastic people, and it is a great experience, and it's a really, really important thing to be involved in. And, you know, it is a great honour to be offering this platform to our Kent and Medway businesses, who are just an amazing community of people.
Yeah. This will be year four, I believe, won't it?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Our fourth year, but our first virtual summit.
Well, for those that don't know the summit, I've been to the previous three, but it's a fantastic thing. Rebecca's going to tell you the real story behind it. I'm going to tell you my view of it as someone that has been both a delegate and has chaired round tables there. I think it's a fantastic event because it does bring together the business community and the establishment, for want of a better word, you know, local authorities, government, NGOs, people that are involved in the entire economy of Kent and Medway, for a conversation, basically, about strategically how we move forward. So I'll tell you what, rather than me telling you, because I don't know what I'm talking about, it will be better to hear this from Rebecca. So, Rebecca, give us an overview of what's going to happen this year. It's on January the 15th, isn't it, 2021?
Yep, that's right.
That's happening.
Nobody ever knows what's going to happen in January at the moment.
Well, I only know one thing about January the 15th, 2021.
What?
It's my mum's 92nd birthday.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Yeah.
Birthday?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's not a lockdown one.
Yeah, yeah. So let's kick off, Rebecca, by you giving us an overview of what the Kent and Medway Summit is all about.
Sure. Thanks, Paul. And thanks for your insight into how the summit appears kind of from the outside, because I think sometimes when you're really invested in something, it's good to get different perspectives. But that's absolutely what we've always said the summit is about. Mm. It's about bringing together business with, like you say, those organisations, those are people in authority, did you call them, the establishment. Mm. So we can all learn from each other and really create a really strong, positive, resilient future for our region. So as I said, a summit like no other, our first virtual summit. We're going to be using the amazing platform which is called Remo.
I haven't heard of that before.
Forget Zoom, forget Teams, forget all those platforms we've been using all since the pandemic began and lockdown began. This is such an amazing platform. I've been literally virtually all around the world trying different platforms, and this is the best one.
Right.
I would always rather be welcoming you to the Sibson building so we can have a cup of coffee and be together. But if we can't be together, this is the best alternative. It's really fun, it's really playful, it's really interactive.
Wow.
The networking possibilities are just absolutely immense. I'm really, really excited that we're going to be using this platform.
How are we spelling Remo?
R-E-M-O. They're a US-based company, but it's just absolutely brilliant. Do look them up.
It's very exciting when you actually find a platform that works and that does what you need it to as well.
Yeah, it's going to be really super. And I'm kind of, like I said, I would always rather be IRL in real life with people. But going virtual does bring opportunities. And I think for me, the real opportunities are around the interaction that we can have in our workshops.
Mm.
So every year we have collaborative workshops where we look to bring people together to share their experiences, to share best practice, and to talk and plan for the future. So our themes for this year are placemaking, productivity, skills, and infrastructure.
Can we just quantify placemaking? Because some people don't always understand what that means. Do you want to just give an overview of what you mean by placemaking?
Absolutely. I mean, it can mean lots of different things to lots of different people.
For me, that's just organising my lounge.
Setting the table.
Yeah.
This year, the take we're going for with placemaking is our future high streets, town centres and city centres.
Yeah.
Looking at what the future is for those really important spaces, places and businesses that mean so much to our communities but have been so challenged. I mean, yes, of course, lockdown, the pandemic is one thing, but even before then, some of the challenges from online have been really serious for
people. It's just exacerbated what was already a serious situation. Is Graham Galpin chairing that?
Absolutely, he is. He's amazing, a world of experience in that placemaking space, and he's put together a really interesting panel to support him as well. So as well as Graham, who's a fellow of the Institute of Place Management, he's got the CEO of Elandi, the big shopping centre property company, who is also the chair of the government's High Street Task Force, and he's going to be bringing some really great insights about what they're doing to support our town centres, how we're going to be reimagining our future. And never afraid, Kent and Medway businesses, to be inspired by people from outside our region. We'll be having a guest visit us from somewhere outside of the region to talk about how they've been working to reimagine their particular city.
Do you know who that is yet?
I do, yeah.
Ooh. Can we have a snippet?
Seeing it's you, Jules.
Yeah.
and nobody else is listening, so they won't know. Yeah.
So normally I have to take Rebecca for lunch and apply with wine to get these.
is the leader of Shropshire County Council, Peter Nutting, and they've been doing some really great work in Shrewsbury around their big term plan, which is really, really exciting. And he should have some really nice insights to hopefully inspire us, because what I want the workshops to be is a kind of a place where business can say, we think our future for the high streets looks like this.
Yeah.
Okay, and the challenges between us getting to there are these, but the opportunities that we've got and the resources that we will bring to the room are these as well. So then we can start to look at a route map to how we move forward into that future, how we can just reimagine these amazing spaces which have so much potential, but we just need to come together to make it happen.
Because I think it's the high street, when I look at what we've been through this past year with the pandemic, it's the high street and the SMEs, the small shopkeepers, that have kept people going with deliveries, and that when the supermarkets weren't delivering at all. So I'm thinking, you know, our local greengrocers, our local butchers, our local bakers, and if we don't support them, they won't be there. They're really, really struggling. The fact that, for example, Home Bargains is allowed to be open at the moment, just off the top of my head, but other little shops are not able to be open. It just seems bananas, you know. And yet what Wales did with covering up stuff in the supermarkets also wasn't the right thing to do. So I don't know where we go from there, Rebecca.
I think Rebecca's right, though. It's more than just the lockdown situation, isn't it? That we were already looking at an evolutionary process in our town centres long before the pandemic struck, you know, because technology was changing everything. And the infrastructure in town centres, you know,
parking,
you know.
I'm always ranting about parking
charges. And footfall in town centres and the cost of operating businesses there in terms of business rates and business rents and all that kind of stuff. So it's a big topic anyway.
It's a really important one to tackle.
Brought forward by what's happened with lockdown. So absolutely, that's fantastic. So, and what are some of the other things that we're going to be covering at the summit?
Interesting that you said, Jules, talking about those businesses that kept us kept us going through the pandemic, kind of the national
lifelines.
So in productivity, we're shining the light on our amazing food and drink sector.
Yeah.
And we've got Floor from the the CEO of Produced in Kent. She's going to be chairing that, and we'll be hearing about the Growing Kent and Medway project, which is something the University of Kent is involved in, which is a really fantastic opportunity for businesses to get government funded support for research into innovation and growth,
right,
as well as some very, very chunky grant funding. So we'll be hearing something about that.
That's going to be incredibly important when we exit, hopefully, eventually, the pandemic and the lockdown, because our economy is going to be devastated and we're going to have to rebuild very quickly in order to hang in there. So research and development, new ways of doing things are going to be critical. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's going to be really the focus of the workshop, that a lot of food and drink businesses pivoted hard in lockdown. They had to, you know, they went from being B2B to B2C.
Yeah.
They had to look at their supply chains. They had to discover new customer segments. Mm. And they did an amazing
online
job.
Stuff as well.
Digitalization happened overnight.
Yeah.
You know, just the resilience of these people to find innovation. You know, you dig deep in these times. You really find out, you know, what you're made of.
Yeah.
And so we'll be looking at kind of the journey so far, the things that we've learned from this lockdown, and then how do we take it forward? What does the future of our food and drink sector really, really look like? Which is a really super exciting discussion to be having. Skills, we're looking at our digital, creative and cultural industries, and how we can create Kent really and Medway as the go-to place for businesses who are probably looking to come out of London now. We don't have to be based in London, we've discovered that. how can we create that amazing go-to warm environment for these businesses to come and locate here, and also the opportunities for people to train and retrain into those jobs and skills because they've proved to be more resilient and have great economic benefits. That's going to be a good discussion.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it? Especially for Kent and Medway, where we're strategically placed. You know, because one of the big... I don't know what way you look at it, but one of the, for me, one of the big positives is a lot of people have now started to look at the efficacy of working from home more and working flexibly more, which is basically going to empty a lot of office buildings in London as people move out.
I was looking at properties in Faversham for a client at the weekend, and the estate agent said people are looking for gardens, they're leaving London and looking for, you know, coming to Faversham areas.
So they can build a home office and stuff like that. Absolutely. So there's opportunities for Kent, and there's also you know, a reaction that we have to have as well. We need the infrastructure in place to do it at a time when we're also about to start with Brexit as well. So
fun.
We don't do things by half in Kent, that's for sure.
No, absolutely. And just so kind of, yeah, our fourth workshop is on infrastructure. We'll be hearing from Southeastern about how we can help them to reimagine our train service in light of that kind of shift away from London and the commuting business.
So would that be for flexi fares, like, you know, people going in once, twice a week? Or
it could be. I think, you know, come to the summit and have your say. That's what I would say.
Well, they've been rattling on about that for about 4 months on social media, but haven't actually done it yet.
Yeah. So we'll be hearing from the MD, David Statham, on that, as well as other opportunities to build that infrastructure, which, as you say, Paul, is so important. And that's just half of what's going on at the summit. I know we're going to be running out of time, but we've got some amazing keynote speakers as well. We'll be hearing from the head of policy at the Institute of Directors, who's going to be bringing the latest on the pandemic and what it means for business, straight from Number 10, IOD, one of the big five consultants for government on business policy. We'll be hearing from Locating Kent about the major developments which are happening around the county and progress on them. We'll be getting the latest on our relationship with Europe and what that means for business. We'll be hearing from KCC and from Medway Council about what they're doing and their latest developments. So there's a load of keynote speakers and one yet to be announced keynote speaker. Ooh. I can't tell you, Jules. I would. You know, I would.
Well, I've just booked a little table for the 4th of.
Fantastic. it's top secret, but I promise you, as soon as I can tell you, you're going to be the first to know.
Fantastic. Ooh. We shall look forward
to
hearing
teaser.
That. We're kind of running out of time.
Yeah.
We can talk some more about this in the next part of the show. So there's a fantastic lineup of guests, and you're using this wonderful platform, Remo, to do this whole thing virtually. It's all going to flow seamlessly.
Of course.
And there's loads of interesting stuff there. Is it a free to attend event?
Is it a small charge?
There's a small charge for it. Okay.
What is the small charge?
£10.
£10, well, that's manageable.
Yeah,
for
that is
people.
Small. Yeah,
exactly.
Fantastic.
That's two coffees, basically.
Mm. Absolutely.
Depending on where you go.
Yeah.
We're not in Thanet, but, you know.
Can I just say one thing?
Of course you can.
A huge thank you to our sponsors who have seen the vision, have come on board, are really passionate about supporting Kent and Medway businesses like we all are. British Business Bank, KO Digital, Canterbury AI, Southeastern, and our headline sponsors, Creston Reeves. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. If you want to find out more about the summit, if you want to book your place, find out who the speakers are and everything else, there's an easy way to do that because we've listed all the connections and all the links on the Business Radio website. So if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/summit, you will find all the links there for finding out what's on, when it's on, how it's on, and how to register your place. For the moment, Rebecca, thank you so much. Do stay with us. We'll talk to you some more during the show. But Rebecca Smith of the University of Kent, the organiser of the Kent and Medway Business Summit, thank you so much. Cool. Okay.
Exciting that, you know, and also, well, we just touched the surface. So Rebecca will have to give us updates.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you remind me the date of it? Because that's what I've forgotten to write down.
It's the 15th of January.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
After Christmas, we should be emerging.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Karen Stanley. She says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please, Paul. There's a free 5-day mindfulness writing challenge coming in January. Follow me on Facebook, Karen Stanley Author, or go to her website, Karen Stanley -author.co.uk for updates. And she says, happy Tuesday, everybody. So do check that out. You can do one tweet Jules, quickly.
Bill Fox from Kent-based business coach has said a good morning to us. You can find him on kentba.co.uk. I've got hundreds of tweets.
Yeah, but I've got another interview with another guest and we need to get it in before the news.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So we're going to hear now from Dan Jarvis of Construct UK. Dan is on a panel at a conference that's taking place tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, which is the Construction Expo. And it's a virtual event again. And Dan is on the panel talking about SMEs, construction SMEs doing business in the Republic of Ireland. Let's hear what Darren had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show this afternoon, Mr. Darren Jarvis of Construct UK. Darren, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Can we kick off by you just telling the listeners a little bit about you and your organisation?
Sure. And hello, Paul. And it's a pleasure to be here. My name, Darren Jarvis. My company is Construct UK. We provide information to the construction industry. Companies such as product manufacturers, suppliers of products, would use Construct UK and come to us for information about marketing, sales, where they can find resources, where they can find information about new markets, export markets, which I think we'll come on to in a second. Mm. We provide details of the media that the industry has. For example, there's over 300 different journals in the construction industry in the UK. So we would provide people with information on all of that. So
okay.
If you were looking for a way to advertise your windows, your bricks, your blocks, whatever right. It is, you'd be able to use Construct UK to find out which media is going to reach that sector of the market. So that's just one example of a whole range of information that we provide. In normal times, we would provide information on all the trade shows, exhibitions, and of course, that's all up in the air at the moment because everything's been shut down. But hopefully, fingers crossed, next year we're going to find that it returns and returns very well, and we can all get back to some sense of normality.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. My own background is I've been nearly 40 years. Nearly in the industry, and I set up to Construct UK about 20 years ago. So we provided originally information in printed form because it was that long ago, and
yes.
Now of course it's all online, and so people can just download bits of information that they need. So in just very simple form, that's what we do: information, where to go, signposting, what's out there for marketing managers of construction firms, construction product firms, manufacturers, suppliers, and so on. So it's a one-stop shop for everything about sales and marketing in the construction industry.
Fantastic. And where are you based, Darren?
In Kent.
Okay. Whereabouts?
New Romney.
Ah, lovely. Our station originally started in New Romney. We were,
oh, really?
We were on Hagland's Farm. Where our original, our original studio was on. Well, actually, our original studio was in a potato factory in Cockspur Lane. But and then we moved to Hagland's Farm. So so we know New Romney really well.
Yeah, good.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now you're going to be one of the keynote speakers at the Construction Expo. Southeast Construction Expo, which is happening on the 19th of November. Now, as you just alluded to, of course, that would normally, and has been in previous years, a massive exposition and trade show. Of course, that's not allowed at the moment, so it's going to be a virtual event, which is going to be interesting. Have you done a virtual event so far?
No. Well, can't say any more that. So it's going to be a new experience for me. It sounds fun. And by the way, I think it's the 18th and 19th.
Yes, it's a
two-day event. And it's going to be an experience, and it looks fantastic. I mean, there's lots of good speakers lined up. Kindly say that I'm one of the speakers. Actually, it's a panel. I'm on the 19th, you're right, and we're going to be looking at the Irish construction market.
So let's talk about that, because that's actually what your panel is going to be looking at, which is opportunities for SMEs to do construction work within the Republic of Ireland. So let's kind of pad that out a bit. Tell us a little bit about that. Why particularly that market is of interest?
Okay. Well, we thought that this is the panel. So this is me, the head of trade at the British Embassy in Dublin, the international trade advisor for the Southeast, Colin Mellowish, who obviously from the Department of International Trade, and Danny O'Shea, he's the MD of a company called Building Information Ireland. So it's the four of us looking at this. And the reason why we thought Ireland would be worth looking at is because a lot of small to medium-sized businesses already export, but most don't. And yep. There are huge, huge opportunities for many companies in export, but it's, you know, it's complicated. It's very, very time consuming. Mm. There are often many barriers to the market for companies. And it can seem overwhelming to some people, but the opportunities are enormous if you can get it right and you have the time to get involved. And with the situation with the end of the transition period, for the Brexit transition period coming upon us anytime, now, the government is very keen to encourage people to look at export markets anew. Mm. Now, Ireland, of course, it's a perfect introduction to exporting because it's the same language and we've got the shared history. The standards are pretty much the same. There are so many similarities. And, of course, you know, we already... particularly in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, there is so much cross-border trade.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to Northern Ireland or you go to Ireland, you wouldn't know that you were moving from one jurisdiction to another.
Sure.
So it's very, very easy to do business in Ireland for British companies.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be interesting that if we had a look at the construction opportunities specifically. I mean, it's a big market, you know, overall, Ireland is, I think, the fifth largest export market for the UK.
Yep.
So, you know, it's important. Mm. And within that, construction, of course, is a big market. I mean, it's worth about 26 to 27 billion euros, the output for the construction market in Ireland. I mean, it's huge. A plan which they're called Project 2040, which I think is about 116 billion euro investment plan to develop Ireland for the next 20 years. Mm. So there's an enormous amount of work in the pipeline, and all of this feeds into opportunities for British companies. And it's not just large companies that can take advantage of the Irish opportunities. You know, it's ideal for small and medium-sized companies, not just product suppliers, service providers, contractors, subcontractors, because it's so accessible. Yeah. And we're leaving the EU jurisdiction any minute now, so the freedom to work and access the markets is, you know, there's going to be barriers there now. But in Ireland, of course, we have the common trade agreement, which means that we still have the right to work and to live and go and travel freely without any barriers. Mm. So that makes it very accessible. So it's great for potential new exporters looking further afield to start in Ireland. And I think for even domestically focused companies who wouldn't consider export as an opportunity for them, they should look at Ireland, because they can look at it as an extension of the domestic market, particularly contractors and subcontractors. So we're going to have a discussion about that and explore some of the ways that we can show people that they can get access to the information they need to be able to do it.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? And you're absolutely right. And funnily enough, on last week's show, we were talking about export opportunities to Northern France. And there are some events taking place to try and encourage SMEs to export, because you're absolutely right. I can't remember what the actual figure is, but it's a huge number of businesses in the UK don't export anywhere. Especially with markets being tight at the end of the pandemic and what have you, we need to broaden that out as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And I get entirely what you're saying, that, you know, especially if it's your first foray into an export market, going somewhere like Ireland minimizes the uniqueness of it, if you like, or the fear behind it. So I get that entirely. And you kind of started to answer the question anyway before I asked it. I was going to ask about what the market actually consists of in Ireland. I'm thinking of building. And of course, you were also talking quite rightly about products. Presumably building products, building equipment, construction equipment are all things that can be exported.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the market itself in Ireland for construction, where is that at the moment? You know, what is happening in the marketplace?
Well, it's all been, I think we've got to wait now.
The effects
of the COVID pandemic on the Irish construction market. But where we were in 2019, the figures, because there are always, there's always a lag. So in about the springtime, the data came out showing what the output was for 2019. It was about 25 billion euros, the output. Right. The projection at that time was, and this was just before the pandemic hit, was that it was going to become, the output for this current year when it finishes was going to be between 26.5 billion euros and 27 billion euros. So it was on a continuing increase. And this is all underpinned by this activity, much of which is generated by the government plan that I mentioned, the Project 2040. But also, it's got huge investment. Dublin, there's just, I mean, if you've been to Dublin recently, and you know, I've been going, I say not a lot, I mean, I've only been a few times, but I went about 30 years ago, and then when I was there 2 years ago, I mean, it's just transformational, really, what's happened.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and there is huge building work going on, offices and hotels and everything that, like that. Also, on the in the sort of sector, at the sector level, Ireland has an acute, as similar to Britain, housing shortage. So you know, there is, and they've got plenty of housing, often in the wrong places. So yeah, you know, or the wrong configuration of housing. You know,
yeah.
So there is a lot of investment going into new housing as well, because there's this shortage. So it's very buoyant, or it was very buoyant.
Sure.
Where we are right now, obviously it's too early to say, but it looks very promising that the industry just virtually stopped. It didn't completely stop in Ireland, or neither did it in Britain, but during the shutdowns it did come to a halt. But the data, the monthly data that the Ulster Bank produce, showed that output in September had actually gone up again on the previous month, which in turn had gone up again on the previous month. So it is showing signs of a rebound. So fingers crossed, it looks as though, you know, they're coming out of it.
Okay, cool. I want to turn now, if I may, Darren, to the panel and how this is going to work. Not the technology of the virtual stuff, but so you're going to have a panel of experts from different fields, from both government and industry, talking about the potential of the market. Is there going to be an open forum of questions, or have you got preset questions that you're going to answer? How's it going to work?
I believe it's an open forum.
Right. Now,
sorry for being vague. I just don't know
yet.
So I can't say other than that. I believe that there will be the opportunity to submit questions as we speak.
Yeah.
So I think the segment that we're in is going to last about 40 minutes or so.
Right.
And we're going to firstly just discuss the Irish construction market in a bit more detail, the opportunities that there might be, what projects are coming along. So if I go through the panel briefly, Danny O'Shea, the MD of Building Information Ireland, his organisation provides details of upcoming construction projects.
So, and he's got a lot of information that he's able to provide, where the projects are, what they're looking for, you know, are they looking for products, are they looking for contractors, subcontractors, what sort of work is coming down the pipe. So he will be able to talk specifically about that. And he has a report that he's going to make available to anybody that's interested. The head of trade from the British Embassy. The British Embassy, of course, provides a lot of support, a whole range of support for exporters, obviously, you know, throughout the world. But the Dublin Embassy is looking to support British companies wanting to get into the market. So they provide research and help, you know, introductions, things like that. So they will explain how they can fit in and help somebody access the market. And Colin Mellowish is the international trade advisor for the southeast of England, and he will be he would be the first contact, and for anybody within the region that wants to access this, and he will be able to provide exactly what support can be provided in terms of grants, help. There's quite a lot of grants available for people who want to explore these opportunities. So that's how the panel is structured, and we will, you know, go through the market, the opportunities, how to access it. And throughout that discussion, I believe people can submit questions by text, but I might be wrong.
That's great. Darren, look, thank you for that. We wish you much luck with it. It's going to be a fantastic event. If people want to join the event, it's happening on the 18th and 19th of November. The website for the event is constructionexpouk.co.uk. So do check the website out. It's got all the speakers, panels and details on there. And you can also register there. Darren, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about Construct UK, how do they do that?
They can go straight to constructuk.com. There's a whole range of information there, but head for the directory tab and you will see a whole section on Ireland. And we've published a lot of information. It's freely available. Just go there, so constructuk.com, directory tab, and look for the Ireland section. And you'll see a lot of information about and links and everything else about the Irish construction market.
Fantastic. Darren, thank you so much for joining us. Have a good afternoon, and we will see you again soon, and good luck on the 19th.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Cheers, Darren.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
And that was Darren Jarvis there of Construct UK talking about the Construction Expo, which is taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 18th of November and Thursday the 19th of November. If you want to find out about it, you can go to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk. And that virtual event is taking place tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday.
A very important event, that one.
Yeah.
There's a full-service agency, the Realia Marketing, and they've appointed Helen Bell as Senior Account Manager. So well done, guys. And as the business continues to grow, its expertise in the construction sector. So it nips in nicely there with the last interview. And Helen's most recent position was Managing Media Relations for global construction company Lane O'Rourke. And she's also worked for Kent House Builder Chartway Group. And so that's really good. Well done, guys. Good to hear people getting jobs.
Fantastic. I've had a couple of tweets. One from the lovely Tracy Ferguson, Tazzy64 on the Twitter. And she says, hi, Paul and Jules and guests. I'm looking forward to listening live if I get home in time. It sounds like it's going to be another great show. So thank you for that, Tracy. And we always appreciate your support. Thank you so much. She's a great supporter of the show.
She was admiring my pink artisan lemonade.
Was she?
She was saying, oh, that looks interesting.
It's I've water.
Yes, me water from me tap, it is filtered water.
It's Peckham Spa water.
Yeah,
is it?
It's Whitstable water.
The lovely Phil Wilson, known as Pip Drums on Twitter, has said, oh, me, can I have a shout out and to all other professional musicians who haven't got out of bed since March. Phil is a drummer extraordinaire and percussionist, and he was due to be on tour with Mudd this year. I'm not sure how
that's
many.
That's right.
I see you. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
If only I didn't have this pole between my knees, I could have done the little dance.
Yeah, you could have done.
Little tiger feet dance.
Fantastic. The British Deaf Association have tweeted, the Deaf Roots and Pride team are hosting a live streaming event for International Men's Day, where they will be chatting to two great role models from Scotland and Northern Ireland. The team will go live on Facebook on Thursday the 19th of November at 3 p.m. So please come along for a chat. If you want to find out more, if you go to BDA_Deaf on the Twitter, you can find out the links for that.
And the Kent Foundation Awards this year, they say, have been very difficult, especially for businesses. But they do believe that there's still so much to celebrate in how they've shown innovation, strength and resilience. So they're asking, how do we celebrate and highlight the achievements of the amazing businesses that we support and the commitment our mentors have given when it's unlikely we can actually meet in person? So talking of Pip the drummer, Pip Drumroll, what's his name, Pip? He says, we have made the decision to take our annual awards event to a new level, and you can find out all about it at www.kentfoundation.org.
Fantastic. Do you know what? We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Oh, I need to know this. I haven't heard the news today.
Have you not? When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to speak to. We're going to hear from Liu Batchelor. So let's join the newsroom.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
This is Channel 2.
Channel 2